Well, happy Pride, everybody.
Yeah. Okay. Woo. I think committing a crime, though, because Lisa looks more ready for Pride than I do currently. Like, you got the rainbow glasses, and I look like a bum. I need to go fix myself.
Listen, I see purple. I see red. I see yellow. That's like half rainbow.
I have my Pride bracelet. I wear that year-round. Year-round.
She got Pride forever. She got Pride starting. She got Pride ending. She got Pride in the middle. And she got a Nightcrawler tumbler sitting next to her that she's not even talking about.
Yeah. You know what's great? So one of my brothers, his girlfriend, like the first Christmas I think she joined us for Christmas, she completely blew us all out of the water. Like, she gave all the best gifts, including a Nightcrawler thing for me. I was like, she had to go look for this.
That's awesome.
You can't just find this somewhere and be like, that works. Like, she searched for this. So she's really awesome.
That is amazing. She's a keeper.
Mm-hmm. Simply amazing.
That is simply amazing. Hey guys, welcome back to Simply Amazing, the best, most incredible Nightcrawler podcast in the world. I'm going to say the universe. I'm going to say there's not a planet out there that has a better one.
There isn't. No.
No. No. It's not going to happen.
No alternate timeline either. None. None of that.
No, it's us. We're like this podcast is a nexus being for all the universes. So it exists as in its entirety, exactly as it is in every universe.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree.
I think that's what a nexus being is. I don't know.
Does it matter at this point? I don't know. Please tell us, everybody. Does it matter?
Listen, I come from the long line of canon is what you think canon is, and we are allowed to reject and accept whatever we want into it. So you know what? There you go. I've just made it. It's done.
Let's go. See you in Icon for that.
I mean, what can I say? Well, I'm Lisa, aka the OG Nocturne, and with me, of course, is the fabulous, gorgeous, half rainbowy Lauren. With what the hell is that?
It's a tangly. It's a fidget toy. So you can pull it apart. You can put it together. It's like one of the only fidget toys I have. I need more, but you know.
No, I love a fidget toy. Let me tell you, but it just the way you like swung it up into the it was just like, what the hell is that?
I didn't mean to drop it. That was the problem. I wasn't just doing this. I brought it up and then I dropped it by accident. I said, oh, that's going to look weird. That's fine.
It's fine. It all works. But you're here. We're here. We're ready to do it. We're going to talk about it. Girl, what are we talking about this week? Tell me about it.
So those of you guys that don't know and haven't figured out, Lisa is the one that mostly runs our fantastic Simply Amazing Twitter. Sometimes I pop on there, but usually it's her. And so basically she tweeted out this article in regards to the Deadpool 3 movie and how, you know, there's all these rumors that these other X-Men from like the original X-Men trilogy might show up in it, even beyond Hugh Jackman. But what if we could get back Alan Cumming's Kurt? You know, because what if we could get Alan Cumming to be Nightcrawler and hopefully enjoy it under not shitty conditions, not shitty circumstances, and to hopefully, you know, kind of rejuvenate Kurt as a character in the films before the MCU reboot. So that's what we're talking about, is our thoughts on this article and whether or not we think it's a great idea, how we could do it, all that cool stuff.
Yep, that's it. You got it. And I'm going to start out by saying that it is, and I mean, this I wear as a badge of pride as a Nightcrawler fan. It is indisputed that the first scene in X2 when he's in the White House is like one of the best, if not the best, superhero scenes in a modern superhero movie, period.
Yes, correct.
I mean, this is like, I've seen article after article after article say this. I've seen many people say this, and it's not just X-Men fans. It's like everybody's like, no, that's like the best scene with a superhero in a movie ever, which is kind of funny because in the scene, he's not a superhero. He's not even a hero. Like, he's not even, like, this is the sad thing about Nightcrawler, especially in the early movies, is he never actually becomes an X-Man. He's just there for the duration of that movie.
Yeah, which I think that's a great point. I think that could be a whole episode point to talk about, is like how in those films, you know, Kerr has never gotten a chance in his film portrayals. I mean, even when he's like kind of with the X-Men, like the other version of him in the second trilogy, he's never really like this is, you know, we never got to a point where it's like, this is finally Kurt the X-Men. This is finally Nightcrawler the X-Men. Here you guys go. We have these different periods basically we see of him and never get to that. So I think this is a chance for us to see what that Kurt would be like when he finally becomes a freaking X-Men as a nice send-off.
It's true. I mean, so it's fun, like bringing up the later X-Men movies. The real shame of it was that some really awesome Kurt moments got cut from Apocalypse. Like, there's that whole montage where they go to the mall and they cut that. And it's like, what a great montage to let all of like your new cast shine. And they did it rather than have that. They had another scene where Pietro, or Peter, as he was in the movie, whatever, who cares?
Who cares?
I mean, of him just speeding around saving people again, and it's just like, okay, we saw that already. We saw that in the first Days of Future Past. Like, we got there. Next one, next, please. So, and then they also had this whole. Remember? Do you remember at the end of Apocalypse? They had that whole scene where they're all wearing like amazing, like comic. I mean, not everybody. And Cyclops was definitely the best one of like comic book accurate costumes. And then we never saw those costumes again. It was just, I mean, whatever. That was a whole other disappointment. It's just we as X-Men fans have been let down by the movies for over 20 years. So come at me, Avenger fans. I mean, let's go. But
Avengers fans, where are they? I'm kidding. Sorry, Avengers fans. I had to poke the bear a bit.
Do you know what Avengers fans are? Do you know what an Avenger fan is? An Avengers fan is somebody who hasn't found the X-Men yet.
Ooh, Lisa said Fight Club has opened up. Come into the ring.
Come at me, bros. Come at me. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I got a guy who controls metal. What are you going to do, Tony Stark?
Yeah, what are you going to do? Send Tony Stark. That's exactly what I was thinking. What? Like, that's ever since Iron Man became like the front of the MCU, that's all they got now is, oh, but we have Tony Stark. Okay, and we have Magneto. And Polaris. Yeah. And... Yeah. So many other people.
Yeah.
Forge. Everybody, they're like, and it's not even that you need multiple X-Men to do what Tony Stark does. It's that you have so many people that can do everything Tony Stark does.
100%. I'm so sorry. I took a bite of cereal in the worst time. I should have done that.
I mean, listen, if I'm just on my soapbox chewing out Tony Stark, it only makes sense that you can chew on cereal. So, you know.
Perfect. I love it. There's also Trinary. Remember Trinary from X-Men Red, who was the girl who could like control machines?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where is she? Where has she been?
I don't know, girl, but we're off topic, Lisa. We're on a tangent.
No, we are. Trinary. Damn it. Hit our DMs. Hit us in the DMs and let us know where you are, girl. okay. So going back to Alan Cumming. So I am going to be unpopular opinion of the century. I did not enjoy his Nightcrawler.
Ooh, team, do tell.
Here's the thing. When it first came out, I loved it because it was all we had. It was the only thing we had of him. But they took every aspect. So there are aspects of Nightcrawler I absolutely love that make me love the character. And then there are aspects that like I tolerate or that like, you know, I'm like okay with or I'm okay with in moderation. And it was like they took all the aspects that, like, I don't love, and those were the ones they focused on, and they didn't focus on any of the stuff that I do love about him. Like, his womanizing way, which, I mean, that's a weird way to say it, but, like, the way he's kind of, like, a romantic, and he's, you know...
He's a himbo.
He's a total himbo. He's a swashbuckler. He's having adventures. He's really, really... Like, he's good-looking. He's not a freaking monster. Like, yeah, he's got blue skin, but he's, like, a decent-looking guy underneath all of that. Not to say Alan Cumming's not, but I mean that fucking makeup they put on him, Jesus Christ. And then the other thing I hated was I don't hate his religious side. I actually enjoy it. I just hated the way it was all he was about in this movie. He was praying all the time. The whole scarification thing. I'm sorry. That was just so dark. And like it's one of those things where I don't understand how no one gets how fucking dark that is.
No, I agree. That is, I totally see what you're saying, or I think I see most of it because I don't think Alan Cumming was the problem with that version of Kurtz, you know, other than, you know, the behind the scenes stuff was a mess. And I want somebody that enjoys playing Kurt to play Kurt. But past that, Alan Cumming was not the problem. I think Alan Cumming as an actor played him well. But I agree with you completely in terms of, yeah, like the it was culty. You know, his religious side wasn't his spiritual, you know, he's trying to be better for people and it's helped him cope with the shit in his life. That's what religion is for Kurt in a lot of ways, at least in my opinion. And that was just culty as shit and scarring him. I mean, yeah, I don't like that. Like, I have the Funko of the X2 Kurt, but that's only because it's Kurt. I don't like that look at all for him. In my opinion, I am with you in that, you know, I don't want that version of Kurt to come back. If Alan Cumming were to come back and play Kurt one more time, I'd love for them to just pretend X2 never happened in terms of that look for Kurt and that personality. Kind of like they did with Deadpool. Like when they made Deadpool, they got rid of, you know, the version of Deadpool from Wolverine Origins because it was fucking terrible and they make fun of it, which is great. So I think they should do that with Kurt in terms of throw that away. You know, bring him, you know, recharacterize him, make him just have regular blue skin. He doesn't have all that culty ass scarring and ugh. Because see, here's the thing. The darkest thing about Kurt is that his mother is Mystique. That's the darkest thing about Kurt. Like, and I'm not saying you can't explore other things where like Kurt has, you know, dark thoughts and things like that. Like, of course, we all do as humans and, you know, like, but past that, the true darkest thing is his attachment to his mother, who is fucking Mystique, and you know, Destiny, who is his mother. We've been new Marvel, stop being cowards. As a Zoe,
Destiny, who is his mother, who's also fucking Mystique. So there you go.
See, exactly. See, you get it. We should be in the writer's room, guys. We should be in the writer's room. Call us, Marvel.
So I totally agree with you with that. I mean, he's such a lighthearted character. And I think that for me too is one of the reasons that I find his movie portrayal so jarring is like Kurt has never been someone who disliked the way he looked. It was more so he disliked people's reaction to the way he looked. You know, it was like he never hated his appearance. I mean, yeah, let's be real. I'm sure there was a teenage section of his life where he fucking hated the way he looked, but I mean, didn't we all go through that? You know, so that's just a common human experience. I don't think he ever had a lot of negative feelings towards the way he looked. It was more just, you know, people's reaction to him because they thought he was a monster. And as someone who was raised semi-Catholic, but I mean, my Catholicism is very lapsed. I felt like one of his big things that he took from his faith, and especially his faith in God, is, you know, it says in the Bible that like God makes man in his own image. And so I'm mixing up fanon and canon, but I always felt like he had that kind of feeling of pride in his image because God made him that way, you know? And
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And it's like, so there's a reason God made him that way. He is that way for a specific reason. And so that for me, the whole scarring thing was so jarring and so it made no sense for the character that I knew as far as, you know, who Kurt was at the time. That made no sense. Like he would never destroy his body that way, even though it's supposed to be these angelic symbols. But again, that was all bullshit too, because I'm like, I've looked up the angelic symbols. I'm like, where are these angelic symbols in Catholicism? I'm not seeing it. I mean, it seems like it's like a mishmash of like paganism with Christianity and like all this. They reached is what I'm saying. They fucking reached.
Yeah, no, they did. And I think that's an unfortunate byproduct of, you know, the early 2000s and the 90s where, you know, they made, you know, Kurt was made a priest and they just made Kurt, you know, his identity was his religion, which is a problem I have. I agree. Like we've talked about this before. I have no issue with him being religious. I think that's a part of him and it makes sense. That's a part of him. Kind of like you said, especially like, I mean, what you said earlier with, you know, he's never personally hated his own body, but he hates how other people respond to it, which has made him feel shitty about himself in the past. I think that's how a lot of body image works. Not for everybody, but that's how lava works, right? A lot of us won't hate our bodies if we weren't worried. Oh, well, other people say it's terrible, so that means it's terrible, you know? And I think he's very much like that. And over time, he eventually gets to the point of, oh, I do love my body. I will say in X2, I don't think he's at a point where he's gotten that far to, you know, he's realized, you know, okay, God made me in his image, therefore my body is wonderful because it's in his image, and that, you know, helps him cope from his perspective. I don't think he's at that point. And the scarring thing doesn't make sense, because why would a man who hates himself, you know, cope that way, especially if it's to be, you know, it's just culty. It's poor writing on that part. They took his character and they said, we got to make him as religious and creepy as possible. He's neither of those things. He's not a zealot. That's the thing. He's not a zealot and he's not actually a fucking creep.
Like, yeah.
He's not.
I have my own theory as to why they chose to give him scars, and it has nothing to do with story and everything to do with just production.
Hmm.
And it's, I'm pretty sure I'm actually right about it, because it explains Mystique's scales as well. I think at the time, makeup technology was not advanced enough where you could really give someone such an unnatural skin tone flatly. I think there needed to be something there to kind of, like, I think there needed to be something there that could easily cover up any blemishes and, like, weird things about the skin tone and make people not focus on that kind of stuff. I mean, I could be wrong. Makeup artists out there, tell me I'm wrong. But because if you look at like, modern, right? Like Gamora is a really good example, because she's just green skin. I mean, it's very simple green skin. But then you look back at, like, early Star Trek, and you have these, like, green-skinned women in it. It was much weirder. You know what I mean? I think it's just that at that time, they needed something to give the skin texture to make the color make sense. I don't know. That's my theory. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Sure. No, I mean, I'm not a makeup artist, so I'm with Lisa. You know, obviously, if you're a makeup artist, especially during that time, let us know, because I'd be really fascinated to hear that perspective. And I think that makes sense. And at the same time, I think there are better ways to do it. I don't think that was the answer that needed to be chosen, in terms of just give them tattoos, for God's sakes, and make them actual, meaningfully placed tattoos that connect to his religion, that connect to his values. Like, maybe he has a tattoo regarding family. Maybe he has a sword, because again, he's a swashbuckler. I don't care. Like, those are still reaches, but they're reaches that you can connect to the character to make work in a situation like that, where, oh shit, like, we got to figure out how to make this work, because we're not at a point where we can just do easy blue skin and also make it kind of look like the texture we want for Kurt. Like, there were other solutions that I think were better and also probably would have been simpler. Why'd it have to be every single inch was covered in a scar? Like, what the hell was that? It just wasn't thoughtful, and yet it had to be thoughtful for the poor artists that had to do all that. Like, that's so much work they had to do when it was unnecessary. You know what I mean? Like, it just stinks for them.
Oh yeah. I'm just having, when you're talking about Kurt having different tattoos, I'm, like, imagining him with, like, a shitty tribal armband and, like, a heart that's his mom, and then, like, Amanda written over his chest. Like, I'm just...
Yeah, like, just some... Yeah, again, he's a himbo. Like, the fact that, you know, anybody telling me that, like, Kurt couldn't or would never have tattoos, I'm like, that doesn't make sense. And that just goes with the, you know, unhelpful, in my opinion, point of view of, oh, but Kurt's a zealot, essentially. Stop with the religious zealot shit.
Yeah.
I agree, that was the biggest problem with, you know, the X2 version of Kurt. I would still love to see Alan Cumming come back and replay Kurt in a, you know, more personified way, and they just write it off in some funny, dumbass way, kind of like they did with Deadpool. And then that's his send-off, and that gives us a great footing into whoever our next Kurt will be in that characterization. I think that's a good handoff. So I'm halfway with the article. I'm okay with him coming back and doing a little send-off, but we got to get, we can't be like, oh, but look, we got scary religious zealot Kurt back. Nah, throw that away.
Yeah, I agree. And the sharp teeth as well. Can I just go back one more second to the tattoo thing for a quick second? And this is a totally off topic. Apologies. You can skip ahead if you don't care. But can we agree that because I don't believe Nightcrawler can get tattoos. Like, if we talk about, like, the comic book version of him, he's got fur. So he probably couldn't actually get tattooed. That's unless it was, like, something that was, like, dying his fur. But can we agree, if Nightcrawler could get tattoos, he's the guy who would get the fucking tattoo of every single person he dated within 3 weeks of dating them.
Yeah. I mean, I think at some point, I think after like three people, he would start learning, or like he'd at least have like a friend like Logan or somebody at that point to say, he's like, we're going to go get tattoos. And Logan just immediately like locks him in his room and says, you teleport out and I find out, I will throttle you. Absolutely not. Like,
okay, MCU, this is the only tattooing that I will allow on Kurt if you need to do tattoos. He needs to show up just covered in women's names. And everyone's like, who's Greta? And he's like, oh, she like shared chocolate with me once. And it's like, oh my God, Kurt. Oh my God. Like, you need to stop with this shit. Like, I would love it.
I think it'd be really funny too with like people that he like still is close with, but not in that way necessarily anymore, at least canonly, in terms of like him and Storm totally had some shit in the past. Like that's without question.
Oh, 100% Storm, things like that. Storm's on his body in a second. And it's not like, it's never romantic.
And anytime a new girl comes along and she is in the area to mess with him, she will 100% mess with him and just like find somebody to casually bring up. Oh yeah. You know, my name is on his left ass cheek. And then Kurt's just like, can you not do that, Storm?
And then Rogue is like, and then, why? Yeah. And then Rogue is standing there with the girl saying, don't worry, everyone's name's on his left ass cheek. Not special.
I love it. Headcanon. I support this. I never thought of it before, but approved.
There we go. Okay. Back to Alan Cumming. So, yes. So, this is, I feel like there's two issues here. There's should Nightcrawler come back and will Alan Cumming come back? The first, there's a discussion about. The second one, there's no discussion about. He has said 1,000 times he will never, ever do it again.
And people change their minds, just like Patrick Stewart said he never played Charles again, and ta-da!
Yeah, but like,
Hugh Jackman said he was done, and ta-da!
So there's a couple differences here, right? So the difference is that, number one, Nightcrawler is an athletic character. You have to do something athletic with it. Like, it's just like, you can't just have him show up and like sit there. Like Patrick Stewart, like God bless Patrick Stewart. You did a great job as Professor Xavier. All you had to do is sit in the fucking chair. So whatever. Hugh Jackman has been playing Wolverine for over 20 years. So he's like stayed in the same kind of relative shape to like continue that character if he wanted to. Alan Cumming hasn't been Nightcrawler over 20 years now. And he's 20 years older. I don't know if anyone's seen him recently. He's older. If you haven't seen Schmigadoon, you could watch Schmigadoon because he's in it and it's fucking great. And yeah, it's just, and he's just made it so clear, like that makeup is, he's just not interested in the makeup. And granted, the makeup things changed a lot, mainly because Jennifer Lawrence made such a stink about it. But like her makeup towards the end of the movies was terrible. If you guys remember, like in that last movie, her makeup was fucking awful. So, I gotta be honest, like I don't see him ever coming back. I see no reason for him to want to come back. Like this is not his thing, like the superhero stuff. So he's a Broadway actor. He's more interested in those kind of roles and that kind of stuff. And I want to say that like the main reason he even took the role was because I think Ian McKellen convinced him to. I want to say that was part of it because they like ran in some theater scenes. But
yeah, no, that makes a ton of sense, especially with athleticism. I think though, if you're bringing a character from that far back, I wouldn't expect him to be doing a gazillion scenes in Deadpool, as much as I'd love to see, you know, anytime I see Kurt, I want all the scenes I want. So I wouldn't expect that if he did come back. And if and when they do a couple athletic scenes with Kurt, that's what stunt doubles are for. I'm not saying that's how I prefer it. Of course, the person playing Kurt in the future needs to be able to do those things. I am completely on board with that. But if we're just talking about him coming back for one movie as a send-off and then going bye-bye, like, you know, there's definitely ways to do it. I do agree with you. I don't see him coming back to do it. But it's not as much that I don't think he'd come back if he wasn't offered the right money. I think it's Marvel's not going to go out of their way to offer him the money to come back as Nightcrawler because Marvel doesn't see the necessity to do it. They did with Hugh Jackman because it's fucking Hugh Jackman's Wolverine. That is something that is worth, okay, how much money, Hugh, is going to take for you to come back even though you say you won't come back? We'll offer it to you. Just give us a number and we'll write the check right here, right now, basically. You know what I mean? I don't see them doing that for Kurt. And so I think that's the only way Alan Cumming would come back is if somebody convinced him to, along with a shit ton of money. Marvel's not going to do that. They don't see necessity. So realistically, I agree with you. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't see it. And I think that that's okay. I'm not like upset about it, because whatever Kurt we get next, I want it to be a fresh slate. I want this to be the right Kurt. I want them to get the characterization as close to who Kurt is as humanly possible. So
I totally agree with that. And, you know, just on the Hugh Jackman note, like, Hugh Jackman is like a literal institution in superhero movies. It's like crazy to consider. Has there ever been an actor who has portrayed the same character outside of like serialized like narrative? Like, well, I guess it is a serialized narrative, but like outside of like, I guess, soap operas. Like, who has played a character for 20 something years? In the movies especially, it just doesn't happen. I mean, long lasting characters always change actors. Like James Bond has been going since the 60s, but they've changed actors several times. Like Hugh Jackman has played Wolverine consistently throughout. So he's like, he is legit an institution in superhero movies. And it's one of those things where it's at that point where like, who else would you have play it, right? Who else would you do? I don't feel the same way about Nightcrawler as I do about him, because he's just taken the character and made it his own, and it's so him and it's so who he is. And I think that this Deadpool thing, I think the way that he got talked into it likely is that this is going to be a passing of the torch in ways somehow that is going to introduce.
Laura is coming. I swear to God, I will die on this hill until I'm proven wrong. And I may be proven wrong. So, like, I'm open to it. But I will die on this hill until further notice that the way to pass it off, because you're right, Wolverine, Hugh Jackman's Wolverine is an institution. He is a staple. He is a centerpiece. Nobody else can play Wolverine. All these people that cry, nobody else can play Tony Stark but Robert Downey Jr. Yes, and also still doesn't compare to Hugh Jackman's Wolverine. Tony Stark's character is still, even with how renowned Robert Downey Jr. version of his is, it still does not compare to Hugh Jackman's Wolverine. So I think they need to pass it off by he gives it to Laura and Laura becomes the new Wolverine. Thank you. That's
yes.
It.
Can we just say that Robert Downey Jr., Hugh Jackman was Wolverine for 8 years before Robert Downey Jr. became Iron Man, and he's still Wolverine. And Robert Downey Jr. is no longer Iron Man. So let's just put a pin in that, or I'll send Magneto to take care of it.
I love that thread. That's so fun.
Oh my God. Ugh, these freaking Avenger fans, man. I can't with them. So we're going to get into a fight one of these days. Like, someone's going to come fight me at a con.
Listen, if you're an Avengers fan, please tell us you want to come on here and fight us and debate us, because that would be so fun.
That would be amazing. I would love it. I'd love every second. All right. So back to Alan Cumming of it all. You know what's funny is I actually agree with partially of that casting, because I really think that a Broadway actor would be such a great person to play Kurt, just because somebody who is a really good dancer would have the coordination to like play a gymnast. Because, I mean, let's be real. Finding a gymnast actor might not be as easy, but someone like who's, I don't know, I just see that as being a great choice. But I want to say, I find it very interesting that Alan Cumming had just come off of his like super successful run as the announcer the Vilkman guy in Cabaret, and then he's cast as Nightcrawler, the German guy. It almost felt like they were like, oh, he can do a German accent, get him. So that was kind of funny. And also, let's talk about the makeup for 1 second. So he complained. He had, from his waist to his head, done for one scene. And the rest of the movie, it was just his face. One scene. And he, like, complained and was like, I can never do it again. Oh, woe is me. This is the worst thing ever. Oh, my God. I'm so oppressed. Meanwhile, fucking Rebecca Romijn had, from tip to toe, blue in every goddamn crevice on her body for 3 movies. Can we say, like, men, stop complaining?
True. And I also think, and when you talk about, you know, people that have louder voices in an industry, right? A white cis male is going to have a louder voice than a woman of any color, regardless, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I he definitely had more of a platform to complain on and still be more valid to people, apparently, than she ever could. So it's no wonder she didn't complain. One, because she's a rock star. So great for her, because that shit was the worst for her. You're completely right. That guy can, you know, Alan Cumming, that's, again, that's the one thing I don't like. It's like, dude, shut the fuck up. Like you said, this other woman did it forever and didn't complain, even though she probably wanted to and would be way more justified. And I guarantee you part of the reason she didn't complain is because, or at least to the public, right, is because she's a woman in the industry. Who the fuck's going to listen except us other women who totally hear her, and then other men are like, take a nap. Like, anyways, I just have to point that out, because when we talk about how people speak out in the industry, like how some people speak out and others don't, I think that's really important, is, you know, whether or not it is, if you're going to be heard if you speak out or not. And Alan Cumming clearly believed he would be heard if he spoke out. And he was heard, because we're all like, shut up. So, like, you know, you were heard, dude, congrats, but take a hike, like, take a breather, like, come on now. So,
okay, that was my favorite thing you've said, period. You were heard. Thank so you. Shut up.
Yeah, congrats. We heard you, man. It's all good. So, yeah, I think that's important to note, too. Like, you know, clearly he wanted a different reaction from people for speaking out. He wanted people to, like you said, be like, I'm so impressed. Oh, my God, he's so impressed. Somebody help him. And we were just like, dude, what?
Seriously. Sorry. I decided that I wanted to look and see if – so I don't know if you remember when X2 came out at the premiere, Alan Cumming wore a kilt with a belt that said Nightcrawler and Rhinestones. And I wanted to see if, like, that existed, that I could buy a version of it. It does not exist. When you search Nightcrawler belt, you get a whole lot of fucking worms.
Ew.
I mean, it's just, like, and can I tell you, having grown up, this is a total aside, having grown up in a place that is not very rural, and then moving to a place that's more rural, I see signs for Nightcrawlers all the time everywhere, and I'm always like, oh! And it's like, no, wait, they mean worms. Everywhere. They're selling night crawlers everywhere. On every street corner, in every bodega, they have night crawlers. And it's just, why?
And it's not how do boy.
People need that? How do people need that? How do people need that many worms? I just need to understand that. Like, who needs that many worms? It makes
need
me think
worm?
That, like,
night crawlers here.
It makes me think that, like, the idea to have the worm store in Dumb and Dumber was actually not a bad idea. But okay.
You know. Maybe
moving on.
Maybe that's maybe that'll one day be Kurt's undercover base, is he'll have a worm store.
I got worms. That's it.
I hate it. I hate it so much. And he'll still find a way to get laid by a hot ass woman. Man, oh, let me tell you, that man.
Because he's like, I got worms and I got worms.
God, the amount of us as fans that it would work on is stupid. Oh,
it is true. It is
disgusted
true.
Disgusted with myself.
Well, guys, thank you for coming again. I think this is a good enough time to stop when we start obsessing about worms. I mean, there was a video game in like the late 90s called Worms that I was obsessed with, and I have no idea where it is or what happened to it, or if it was just a fever dream. Anyway, yeah. So you guys, thank you again for coming. We always love to hear from you. We always love to have our people come on. If you ever want to come on and talk about Nightcrawler or anything, actually, literally, we are planning on already covering the Barbie movie on this podcast.
It's happening. I requested it.
I am all about it. So for those of you who are unaware, like, I collected Barbies my entire childhood. I've got like 70 or 80 Barbies. And, like, I've got nice ones. I've got, like, the Padme Amidala Barbie from, like, the 2000s. Oh. I've got the Star Trek set. I've got all the Wizard of Oz ones. I've got a bunch of Bob Mackie. I've got one or two Bob Mackie ones, which are fucking gorgeous. I actually just bought a Bob Mackie one, like, last year at a estate sale. It was my dream Barbie for years was this beautiful, like, Bob Mackie Blue Moon Barbie. Oh, and I found it in an estate sale for $15. Was originally on sale for $200 when it was on sale.
Holy shit.
In the stores. Oh, yeah. This was an expensive Barbie.
Barbies Bob are not a joke, y'all.
No, they are not a joke. I love them. I've collected them my whole life. I bought the three X-Men Barbies they came out with a couple years ago, the Mystique, Storm, and Jean Grey. And so, yes, I am really excited about this movie. We are going to cover it. And the main reason we're going to cover it is because we can connect it to Kurt. And the way we do that is Barbie is Barbie as a doll was based on a doll that actually came out of Germany. That was a doll about like a, it was a porn doll. It was a weird long story. We'll go into it on the Barbie episode. And so since Barbie is based on a German doll and Kurt is German, therefore it is, if it, we can cover it.
Connection. Done. It is approved.
There you go. Exactly. So we'll make it happen. If you want to talk about literally anything, come on. We'll make it happen. We'll talk about it. We'll have a good time. We'll have some coffee.
We'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it, you know? So, yeah. So Lauren, where can they find you? Tell them all about it.
Oh yeah. You can find me on Twitter at @FriendlyMBHDBI. I still do the YouTube channel with indie comics and such as well. Kurt's not in the neighborhood. The school's named after him, so that's a win, I guess. But where is Kurt? I'm still looking for him in the nerdy neighborhood. Y'all need to come over, because where is he?
He's got to be the neighborhood Uber driver.
Something. No, I don't know. We got to find a role where everybody is just like, that is his role, because every time we've tried another role, it hasn't worked. But we can name a school after him, apparently. So, you know.
Or he can be the neighborhood Grubhub's driver, Grubhub's delivery guy.
But does he even have to drive, though? Because he teleports.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you get in your neighborhood, the delivery times would be ridiculous. Right now in your neighborhood, right now, if I want to order from like Domino's, which, you know, it's up the road, it's like a 20 to 30 minute wait, right?
Right. Yeah.
Right now in your neighborhood. But when Kurt gets here, we're talking 10 to 12 minutes.
Oh, I mean, 5 to 6 if they're rushing in the store too and they got a timer. This better be ready at 5 minutes so Kurt can deliver it.
And that's what the only drawback is that like your delivery will smell bad, but it'll taste great.
And that's what matters, guys, the taste.
So I think that Kurt actually runs his own delivery service. It's like Banff Delivery.
I love
it. And that is the tagline, is your food will smell terrible, but it will taste great.
Yes, I think you should come in the neighborhood Discord and say that, so that I can say she's right. Who dares to say she's wrong?
There it is. I'm coming. I'm coming for it.
It's tea. But yeah, you guys can, you know, follow that stuff on Twitter at MBHD Comic Show, and that stuff is on YouTube. I want to make a website for the neighborhood. I think that'll be fun. I want to make an interactive website. It just hasn't happened yet because I don't know coding, and I don't have money to pay a gazillion people to do it for me, which is what I need to do. So we'll figure it out, guys. It'll happen.
I'm going to tell you straight up, I don't know coding either, and I built our website, so it's not hard.
Okay, that's fair, but like I want it to be interactive, which is the hard part. I can make a basic website. The other pieces will come through. We'll figure it out. I will work on the basic part. That will come soon.
She's on it, ladies and gentlemen. She's on it. She's working it out. So the other things, so come find her there. Come find us at simplyamazingpod.com. We have all of our socials there: Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitch. Speaking of Twitch, Lisa, me, I owe everybody here a reading of the Draco, which is coming up very, very soon. I will put the date exactly. I haven't figured it out yet, but by the time this episode comes out, I will, I'm sure, have the date. I will be putting it up to do this Twitch reading of the Draco. So you don't want to miss that. That's going to be fun for you. And yeah, I mean, like, we'll put all that stuff up. You'll see that as soon as we have that figured out. But yeah, simplyamazingpod.com. We are at simplyamazingpod on Twitter. Come find us. Come talk to us. Tell us you love us. Tell us you hate us. Tell us you ain't thinking about us. We'd love to hear it. If you like us, subscribe. Give us a little like. Give us a little, you know, rate us. Tell us if we're a 1 to 5. I think that's what they do, the rating, 1 to 5. So do something like that. And if you are out there right now and you are looking up at the sky and you're thinking to yourself, it is a gorgeous day, I should do something fun today, you should, because you're simply amazing.